When is losing 100 mil a good thing?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. When you're in the airline industry, it is. American Airlines reported a $92 million loss for the last 3 months. Congratulations. It's part of a slew of quarterly earnings reports streaming in this week. eBay disappointed investors. Coke impressed them. Today we'll get numbers from GM, Bank of America, Google, and Southwest Airlines. Oh, I forgot to mention Apple. Apple had a huge quarter, a 41% bump in profits from a year ago. Sarah Gardner has more.
Steve Jobs boasted this week that Apple had basically tripled its business in the last 6 years. That's thanks in large part to mega sales of the iPod and more than a billion songs sold online at its iTunes music store. But iPod sales growth may be leveling off, and Apple is surely looking for the next big thing. Jim Dalrymple at Macworld.com believes the company may already be dabbling in it.
And that's going to be video. They're selling TV shows on their iTunes store. Of course, the speculation is that they're going to have an iPod video with a new form factor so that you can watch the videos in higher resolution and better screen.
This week, Apple also announced plans to build a second campus near its headquarters in Cupertino, California. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Get out the tissues. This one might make you weep. Apparently, the salaries for CEOs aren't going up as fast as they used to. That's from a new study by the consultant The Corporate Library. Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
The average salary of an S&P 500 CEO is 430 times more than that of your average worker. Still, those big checks are getting bigger a little more slowly. Ralph Ward is publisher of Boardroom Insider. He partly credits new regulations from the Securities and Exchange Commission.
They have to put together a comprehensive list of everything on one sheet of paper. And for a lot of the boards themselves, that's a real eye-opener.
Ward says the numbers can be deceiving. After all, more than a quarter of CEOs saw raises of at least 25%. Still, Ward says he senses a trend.
The companies that show the greatest moderation in pay are at the very top level, and that's usually where I see governance change starting.
Topping the list was Richard Fairbank, CEO of Capital One Financial. He pulled in nearly $250 million last year. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Okay, one more survey for you. The Gallup poll finds that 70% of Americans are worried about the housing bubble. They believe it's going to pop in the next year, but 56% of people say it won't happen where they live. Then I don't know where it's going to happen. A new Happy Meal is coming to McDonald's next week. It includes a premium salad, bottled water, and a fitness DVD. Oh, the kids will love that. Wait, it's an adult Happy Meal. Different versions of the DVD offer 15-minute workouts in yoga, cardio, and strength building, featuring a virtual personal trainer. The gains were modest, but Wall Street had a second straight winner. The Dow climbed 10 points to 11,278. The NASDAQ was up 14 to 2370. And the S&P 500 finished the day up 2 to 1309. Oil's trading at about $72 a barrel today. This is Marketplace. Hockey's Stanley Cup playoffs get underway this weekend. Go Sabres. You'll remember there were no playoffs last year because the season was canceled. Here's Tess Vigeland.
Many in the sporting world wondered at the start of the season whether pro hockey would ever recover from missing an entire season. Surprise, fans returned to the ice, and a number of teams set single-season attendance records this year. But Wharton economist Ken Shropshire points out that sports teams don't make the big money at the gate anymore.
Their fans are back now. It's a matter of using that to try to get the right kind of TV deals going forward.
ESPN dropped the NHL last year. It's now on the Outdoor Life Network, which not all cable systems carry. Still, the money is apparently flowing for the league. There's talk of raising the salary cap by around $6 million per team. And yes, they can still afford to buy the pucks. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Some products that are pirated are relatively harmless. No one's going to die from a bootleg copy of Brokeback Mountain, I don't think anyway. But counterfeit prescription drugs, that's another story. Although it's rare, they can wind up on the drugstore shelf without you knowing it. Ashley Milntite has our story.
In 2002, Long Island teenager Tim Fagan had a liver transplant. Afterwards, he was put on a drug called Epogen to combat anemia. Fagan's father, Kevin, says one night he and his wife were woken out of a sound sleep by their son's piercing screams.
When we went running into the bedroom, Tim was just writhing in pain in the bed, going into like almost like a full body seizure.
Turns out the Epogen they'd bought from CVS was counterfeit. As for how this could happen, right now there's no system-wide method for tracking drugs as they move through the supply chain. Counterfeiters can exploit that weakness and dilute real drugs or swap them for fakes. What happened to the Fagans is pretty rare. Counterfeit drugs are estimated to make up 1% of U.S. drug sales. Not all cause such a dangerous reaction. Still, it's enough to worry drug makers. Purdue Pharma makes the painkiller OxyContin. It's now piloting an electronic tracking system. Each bottle the company ships to Walmart and wholesaler H.D. Smith contains a radio frequency ID tag. It has a unique number, so when it arrives at its destination...
You place the bottle at the end of the RFID gun, pull the trigger, and you get a read.
Aaron Graham is the company's chief security officer. He shows me how when he passes an RFID reader or gun over the label, the gun screen fills with information, including a multi-digit number.
And then it tells you where to call to get verification that that number is authentic. It's a Purdue RFID electronic product code. And then we at Purdue can tell you where that product originated and where it should be today in the supply chain.
Sounds good, but...
Is RFID, you know, a magic bullet that's going to solve this tomorrow? The answer is absolutely not.
John Terrio heads security at Pfizer, which makes Viagra. The company has tagged all bottles of Viagra that ship in the U.S., but Terrio says only one of the wholesalers Pfizer ships to has invested in the technology to read the tags.
You have to understand that for RFID to work, there has to be technology deployed throughout the entire supply chain, from the manufacturer to the point of sale. And that technology is currently expensive. It currently does not exist throughout the entire supply chain.
For now, he says, Pfizer is limiting the number of times a drug can change hands. It now requires wholesalers to buy drugs directly from Pfizer or from other wholesalers to whom Pfizer sells directly. Terrio says until RFID is industry-wide, tightening up the supply chain is the most effective way to clamp down on counterfeit drugs. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You can catch all of our piracy coverage this week at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
It's a near thing.